Hi, welcome to our show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
You should, Mike.
Nobody changed anything.
You should explain what you're complaining about.
Nobody changed anything for me.
No, I tried.
Nobody cares.
I typed in exactly what you said. I said suspenseful, building up for a show, and it sounded like a horror movie. It didn't sound what we wanted. So I'll play with it some more.
I get it. No, now, are you using, as far as your process? Oh, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, hi.
I'm Mike O'Mara. That's Rob Spiewak on the left, Josh Soroka on the right. If you are watching on video, if you're listening, it's like Rob's over here. Josh is over here, and I'm in the middle. So
you're over there now.
I'm over there now.
Hello, Dice. You got me up in the corner there, Deporter.
Let's call this Paranoid Monday. I have Paranoid Monday.
Why?
Just because I'm feeling sad and paranoid and like nobody loves me. That's it.
Stop the music.
It's 60 seconds alone.
Mike, I love you.
I don't know about you. You're part of the problem.
No, I'm part of the solution.
No, last night you posted something yesterday, late in the day. It was something, one of your, it was Bob Hope picture. And
yeah.
I was going to waste your time over the weekend because it would have taken too long.
Right.
But, going back, cause you would remember the Second City TV, actor that played Bob Hope.
Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas, and he would go from on to not on. Bob Hope is tough to really do consistently.
I agree.
But there's a scene where he's being interviewed by Martin Short, and he does, it's fracturingly funny.
Is it the Jiminy Glick where it's really old Bob Hope?
No, it's Martin Short playing another character, but Bob Hope being... And just being like disinterested, cool Bob Hope. Dave Thomas's impression of Bob Hope, fracturingly funny. And I probably somewhere in the recesses of my mind, back when I used to do the Bob Hope impression, stole it as I do all my impressions from Dave Thomas. But brilliant. So I said, well, I want more. Why did? Because I didn't understand your post about it. And I go to your Facebook page right before I'm going to bed.
Right.
And on your Facebook page, I see digital influencer. I see Hicks Nicks. I see a picture of the Marx Brothers at the top of your page. And I see
you posted a picture of the Maltese Falcon.
Maltese
Falcon, but the real one was Bob Hope because I like his pictures where he obscures his face.
That was a poor Rob joke, the Bob Hope.
Well, you see,
that,
goes back
that was
to
wild
Mike
card and, weekend.
Yeah, because this is wild. You know, Bob always said, and you're actually, that's more you than Dave Thomas is saying that something is wild.
Yeah.
When you're being Bob Hope. And I mean, actually, when I put something like that out, truth be told, it's for one person. It's for my buddy Brad. Because he thinks it's funny that Bob Hope would say wild. I say this card weekend is wild.
Oh, you're wild popping and cracking all over the place.
Damn it. Okay, I'll be back in a moment.
I don't know what that is. Come back in.
What this comes down to is you and I need to post today about the Mike O'Mara Show.
Done.
Mike needs some love.
All right, I'll be right back.
Well, no, you're fine. You're off the hook. You're off the hook because you're up there prominently first of all, you do post, but second, I'm talking about the identifier of the value of being the executive producer and businessman, which is right up to the left of
it's right on my profile picture.
It's right on your profile.
Right, yes.
And can we bring up, it's not a violation of privacy if we bring up Rob's Facebook picture, right? Or a Facebook page.
No.
Because
we can bring
this is, and you know, no, you're not included in this. Don't try to help your buddy out by saying he's one of two. No.
Well,
me
I'm
and
helping
him.
As in he
this
has
is
to do this.
This is his thing right here. Beautiful video. Okay. Probably I got to expand it so I can see it. Can you expand it? All right. Zoom in guys. A little bit. All right. Now go up to the let's go up to the left.
Is this your
There you go. Profile. All right. So here's Rob Spiewak.
Okay.
I would venture to say anyone that would look at this page before they got into posts from other people that post on his page. Anything regarding this show is posted by someone else. He does not
have any indication.
And there it is. That's what he cares about. And profile digital.
Is that the Hicks Nicks? I can't see because it's tiny.
No. But
I think it's just that it's the most recent one you added where you already had the Mike O'Mara show
it
there.
It defaulted. I didn't do that.
I don't know what happened with it, but it made me very, very paranoid and
sad. No, you mustn't be. No.
And, you know, we're not promoting anything like right now. This is kind of a tired moment in the promotion of the show where not an event, not a product that we would be there. But I saw that and I'm like, I think I looked over at Carla and I said, does he even care anymore? Does he even care? Because there's not one solitary reference to his association with this show whatsoever. And I was bummed about that. Really,
I'm sorry.
Bummed
I don't
about
want
it.
You to be bummed. Again, that was a miscue. I didn't know that I had Hicks Nicks as the website up there. It's been the Mike O'Mara show.
Why are you saying
forever.
Hicks Nicks? I'm not saying Hicks Nicks.
Well, you just commented that's the website that's posted, and I didn't do that.
No, what's posted is Digital Creator. I know you value Hicks Nicks because it's yours,
Rob. I think I found there must be a setting to add more details because if I go, I know Mike's not upset at mine. He shared.
Okay.
And if I go to mine, yeah, I have.
Can you zoom in on yours again? Because I want to show you. Because yours didn't bug me
at
all.
So here's mine. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you put a job in there.
Podcast host and producer, The Podcaster's Warehouse, The Mike O'Mara Show, and Section 338. And what he leads with his business, which is okay. Although, would I like top billing? Yeah, I would. That's my own paranoia with that, to do that. But also, and then you've had the picture of Camden Yards up for 100 years. That's been your...
Yeah, that never changes.
That never changes. So I'm
probably,
fine with
I
that.
Probably did that when I first joined Facebook.
And I think, Mike, that I had up until January 8th a picture of my family, and then I put up Elvis for one day because it was his birthday. And when I went to change it back...
Josh, would you like to go up to my page and see what I've had up for months and months and months and months and months? What my picture is? I think you both need to see this. I think it's important. Just for pure clarification here.
All right.
So this
By
is
the way,
page.
I have my new AI kind of adjusted. There's my picture.
Oh, that makes me paranoid.
You know what? I'm looking here. Nothing about the Mike O'Mara show.
What are you talking? Where?
I'm just kidding.
No, it says host of the Mike O'Mara show.
I'm just messing with you. It says host of the Mike O'Mara radio show and podcast.
Yeah. And then the picture of the two of you guys on my page.
Mm-hmm.
And on Rob's, you wouldn't have any clue whatsoever that he has any association with you or me. I mean, now what would have really sent me over the top if he put his new, you know, role with your company on there, and then I would have been completely and utterly paranoid. But, you know, I mean, it just, the mind tends to wander, you know?
Yeah, these twilight thoughts are evil.
I don't question Rob's loyalty to the show. It's just, I question his, I almost feel as though sometimes he would, he cares to protest in a very kind of passive way, which would be, well, then I'm not going to put anything. Well,
no.
when I bust your balls all the time.
No, I don't protest that. Well, that's part of the show.
Well, sometimes you protest that. Well, I mean, we all protest.
But the protesting is part of the show. It's not like I'm going to go out and do a campaign about hiding the fact about this is what we do. Why would I do that? There's nothing for me to gain by that.
I think it's more of Rob's on Facebook more than any of us. Which means he posts things, so when he does post a show, it gets lost with everything else, would be my guess.
When he posts a show for what?
Anything about the Mike O'Mara show. That
he
it
never
gets lost.
Anything. He never posts
else.
Anything about
I know
the
he did
Mike
for
O'Mara
the cookbook.
Well, what's that?
And the cruise.
Yeah. Okay. The cruise. That how long ago was that? December 5th, over a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will make a more pointed effort.
Don't we use the Book of Faces to kind of like promote what
it's
we do?
A promotional line? Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
And, yeah.
But I mean, this is more on a more emotional level than that. This is my, as I said before, I wouldn't accuse myself of paranoia if it didn't, did it piss me off? No. Did it make me go to bed with kind of a sigh? Yeah.
Well, you took pause, and I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
Well, just fix your profile so it says what your job is.
Absolutely.
That's simple. Sometimes your simplicity makes me laugh.
Well, it is. All you got to do is put in there that you're a host on the Michael Mara Show, and yeah. Michael will be happy every time he sees it. Even if it's Bob Hope or Elvis or whoever it is, as long as it says that, he'll be happy.
Well, no, I think and the history goes back beyond you, Josh, with this,
I'm sure.
That I, for a long, long time, I've all, Carla and I have been kind of on Rob, as Rob will back up, to post about the show more. That's what we would like, and yeah. he doesn't.
Well, I will.
You've said that before.
Yeah, but that time.
But
I
then
was
again,
lying.
I'm guilty of that too. We're
no,
all
no,
guilty.
This
of that.
Is not
None
about
of us
you.
Do it well enough,
we yeah. don't do it well enough. We yeah. really don't. And I color myself guilty with that. It's just an added thing, you know. I mm-hmm. kind of somehow roll in here and roll out of here and think, well, job is done. And if anybody does more things, both of you probably. Off air, do more to promote and assist this show than I do.
But
you know?
To be fair, you had a storied and long career before social media was even a thing. So it's probably not
before the internet was even a thing.
Mike, before electricity
before
was a thing.
Before cell phones were even a thing.
But
I'm not lying here.
That's
I'm not making
true.
A joke. This is
I remember,
true.
I remember your first car phone. And it was really mounted in your car.
That's back in the day.
Yeah, it was.
Baby.
It was. But you come from a different background where it wouldn't be intrinsically part of the way you think of promoting your show.
Yeah,
so,
I mean
that's
it's,
fine.
It's strange. So, yeah. You know, and they change things on the Book of Faces a lot. But,
sure.
Just wanted to share because if I don't share, Rob,
it festers.
It stays in here.
I hear you. I hear
and
you.
And if it stays in here, it's a bad thing.
It's unhealthy.
It's a bad thing.
It is.
I think I'm going to start keeping score.
For
between all three of us.
About who posts the most about the show?
If you post something about the Michael Mara Show, you get a point.
Would you
we'll
say,
check at the end
Rob,
of the year.
Would you say Josh probably would win that battle?
Well, especially if he started keeping score because he's so competitive. He would change his entire outlook on life to win the contest.
Yes, he would.
Even if there's no prize.
Hyper-competitiveness.
He is him and his brother.
Yeah, but that yes. helps. That helps. Yeah. He's no stranger to this world. I like that.
If we do a posting contest, if we make it a contest, can you include your brother, Matt? Because he would also post about the show like crazy just so he could win.
Speaking of competitiveness, I have to say, man, I've said this year in, year out. This is a repeat theme that the NFL, why is the NFL the best? The NFL is the best because when they get to this playoff scenario, it just seems like, especially with wild card weekends, more often than not, you just have great game after great game
the scripting
after great game.
Was wonderful.
Incredible
wasn't it?
Games. Yeah. Incredible games.
Just
and,
the way they wanted it.
And I'm a little concerned that my son gets a little more enthusiastic about the New England Patriots than I want him to. He doesn't. I have really tried not to show him my complete hatred of that franchise because they're such a rival of the New York Giants.
In his lifetime, though, the rivalry has lessened, isn't it? With the departure of the amazing staff of the
missed the dynasty. It's not a bad. He missed. It's not a bad time to get on.
Belichick's
gone. Brady's gone. Why not?
This will be also a great time to jump on the Commanders' bandwagon.
Look, they had a great season. Then they're doing what the Giants did, where they had that renaissance year, and then they come back and they're crap again. But getting back to the whole NFL, even for somebody who doesn't have a dog in the fight, it's just the competition is fun. Going down to the last few seconds of these games, absolutely a blast. And
I told Carrie this weekend that if you were to tune in just for the last 2 minutes of every game, you'd still have a fun game to watch. You didn't have to watch the entire game for excitement.
I've changed the way I consume sports like many people where the I think they are curated by the NFL, but the highlight reels that they put on, the 15 to 20 minute highlight reels that they put on, you know, you can see everything, and it works mm-hmm. with every sport, and it's absolutely incredible. However,
no, and the NFL does the best job with putting it all together because they plan it. They meet after the season to adjust rules. Mm-hmm. To try to keep offense and defense always balanced to keep these games.
So good. Like it's, so, yeah. It's so well done. Now, on the subject of entertaining sports moments, and I'm not sure I file this in the category of entertaining. I sent Josh a video this morning that has gone very, very viral and kind of speaks close to home from when we used to work in Washington, D.C. The AHL franchise is the Hershey Bears up there. And one of the things I used to love when I went to the hockey games regularly was the little mites that play, the little kids that play, you know, like 6, 7, 8-year-olds that play in between periods, and they have a little mini game. Well,
now, isn't this the same group of kids that they're actually owned by the Hershey Corporation, and they're forced, when they're not playing hockey, to wrap kisses?
No.
Mike, there's still not a machine that can put the foil around the Hershey kids.
You think it's a bunch of Oompa Loompas out there?
No, it's
not orange. It's just slavery. All it is.
This is simply a little league game that where they pick two teams to come out and entertain, and it's a big deal. They get to go to the big arena. They get to suit up and play. And I know you two will have many thoughts on this. I come from what is described as the old school world of hockey, where two guys getting into a go, as they like to call it, getting into a fight, is part of the game, and they blow off steam. But this has become very controversial because now I told you to take it up to the 23-second mark, Josh, with this particular video, because when a video goes this viral, everybody wants a taste. Everybody wants to put music behind it. Everybody narrate it and talk about it. But this are, I believe, 2 8-year-old teams between periods at the Hershey Bears game. And am I gone?
We lost your video.
What happened? I don't
Your know. Audio is still here.
Okay, let me pop back on here. All right, here we go.
So these are 8-year-olds, Mike?
Yeah, but I'm...
And now Mike's microphone is also disconnected.
He's going to make a grand entrance, though.
So he accidentally quit and closed something.
Do you think any of these kids are younger than 8, like 6, 7?
No.
Hey, look who's back.
What the hell is going on? Everything is melting. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Everything is melting down. I'll be right back. And then I'll continue. I don't know what. Comm center, browser connection. All right, I'll be right back.
Maybe he made Chrome not exist anymore, Josh.
Yeah, it might be a Google issue since Chrome this morning told me it no longer exists.
I was very sad when you said that you destroyed all of Chrome. Now, you know, we talk a lot about it on the show. Where do you weigh in on hockey? Are you a hockey fan at all?
So I enjoy playing street hockey or whatever.
Oh, so you play all hockey, that. Yeah.
I've played street hockey. I'm not the best on ice skates, so I haven't played ice hockey. I've gone to one Capitals game.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was that?
10-15 years ago.
Long time. Yeah.
And I went who were they playing? They were playing the Bruins.
Okay.
And I believe. And I did not find it entertaining at all.
Really?
I did not like hockey. Yes.
Wow, I think hockey in person it's one of the best in person games to go to.
That's what I'm told.
Clomping?
Yeah, I think Mike is
God
still here.
Damn it.
By audio. And now Mike is gone.
He's gone. I've had all these issues, and never have I corrected it by clunking something like what I just heard.
No.
Okay, so do you think the game has changed in 15 years that you could give it another try?
I think maybe I have changed enough to give it another try.
All right.
I was given some tickets and went because I always heard, well, hockey's better in person.
It is.
In fact, you know what?
What?
I went to this game, and I went with my dad and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And while there, went out in the concourse because I got a text from Oscar that he was there as well.
Oh, fun.
So I went out in the concourse, said hi to him, and a Mr. Mike O'Mara was with him.
No
kidding.
And I
got to introduce my dad to Mike O'Mara.
And what was your dad's takeaway from that?
Well, this was a long time ago, so I don't quite remember. I remember him being impressed because it was a guy he knew from the radio.
Well, that's cool.
And Don and
so,
Mike.
So this was, I'm trying to think, is this at Capital One or is this long enough ago that it was at the Cap Center?
This is at, no, this would be at Capital One. I think it was the Verizon Center then.
Yeah, back then it was the Verizon Center. Yeah. Well, so. If you're ever up here, you know, Carrie and Robert go to a lot of hockey games. And so if you're ever up here for a moment, we should go to one. It would be a lot of fun.
Well, I enjoy them. It's just
it's a financial issue when they go, because if we can cut the cost by one third, I'll stay home. That's
right.
That's really where it is.
Exactly.
But and if I find my way into tickets,
and I was invited to some Caps games when I was up for when we were up for the Derby party.
Okay.
But it goes on at the same time as baseball. And I'd much rather go to Baltimore and see a baseball game.
Well, you could see a day ball game and then go to the Caps that night.
I could. I could.
What if Baltimore had a hockey team?
I'd be all in.
Yeah. But wouldn't they fight a lot?
Well, part of... Hey, I believe the murder rate has gone way down in Baltimore from what I see.
Well, I think if you bring a hockey team in, we can get that rate back up.
I grew up in this weird sports thing of hating Washington, D.C.
Right.
because of losing the Colts.
Right.
Thanks to the Irsay family. And then the Redskins blocking Baltimore from getting another football team. So as a child, I was raised to hate everything Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And
also,
I think that was common.
What I love is that you really do hold this as a personal grudge. Over the weekend, you sent me a text of Jim. Is it Jim Irsay that has the amazing collection?
Yes.
And he has like,
well, he's got like dead, but his family
had the original, but he has like Ringo's drums and Kurt Cobain's guitar and the shoes that Muhammad Ali wore when he was
my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite was the little 5-star notebook that Rocky was written in.
Exactly.
And a handwritten script of the movie, of the first Rocky movie.
It is nerd stuff beyond nerd stuff. An amazing collection. The fact that he has Ringo's first drum set and like two of the drums that he used on The Sullivan Show. I mean, mind-blowing stuff. And I say, this is amazing. Tell the Irsay family they have enough good stuff. And your reply, like not even waiting, was tell them not to ruin football for me. Tell them that.
They ruined my childhood.
My whole childhood was ruined while you're out trying to find Ringo's drums.
Well, I believe I was 3 years old when the Colts left. So right when I have a chance to like start to get into football,
I could
root for players. So I could root for Joe Montana.
Yeah.
I could play the games. I could root for Bo Jackson.
Yes.
I could root for players. I could not root for a team.
Was it true Bo knew football?
Yeah, Bo knows a lot. Bo is one of my favorite athletes of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
What if he played hockey?
I'm sure he'd be one of the best players. Yes.
Bo knows hockey.
But to the point that when I was probably 11, 12, you know, you have a big birthday party and people give you gifts.
Sure.
And I was given a Nerf football with the Washington Redskins Super Bowl championship on it.
Wonderful collectible.
Yeah. It got destroyed, I think, the next day.
On
or
purpose.
If not before. On purpose, because it had the Redskins logo on it.
Do you wish you had it now?
No, not
Do
at
you
all.
Wish you, if you had it now, would you send it to the Irsays?
I would. Well, I don't think the Irsays would care about a Redskins ball.
Okay. Now, let's say that Baltimore does get a hockey team to get the murder rate up.
Yeah.
They wouldn't play, obviously, at Raven Stadium. Would they play? What is that big concrete box?
I think it's currently the Royal Farms Arena.
Exactly.
The Royal Farms Arena. Name,
now, is that a place where they could play? Could that be a hockey arena?
Now, here's the problem. They used to play hockey there.
Right.
And they used to play basketball there.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't really replaced the arena. They just keep upgrading it. So when I lived in Maryland probably 7-8 years ago.
Right.
The Baltimore Blast were playing in the arena.
Now that's a what team, the Blast?
It's a indoor soccer team. So
America loves indoor soccer.
So Section 336 got invited to come check out the Blast.
When you were invited to the Blast, did they reach out to Section 336 or did you have to ask for the tickets?
No, they reached out.
Okay.
Because they were promoting the new season.
And they were probably also a little eager for any publicity.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, and they reached out not just with, hey, here's your press pass. Come join us and check out a game. Here's your nice fancy pass for the year. Come anytime you want.
Wow, they really wanted positive stuff. Yeah.
So we went. And it was fine. It was fun. It's better than outdoor soccer because you play off the walls and stuff, so it's got that mix of hockey. It's a smaller
but
court.
It's still soccer.
It looks like fooling around in gym class with your friends.
I would say it probably looks like a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Were your free seats great?
We weren't given seats. We were told we can just sit wherever we want.
So, full access to the entire environment. Wow. But
that's the point. We have full access to the entire arena.
Yeah.
So we wandered around and we found like a room out by the locker room that was just an empty like conference meeting room. So we recorded some podcast stuff in there. Post show we went out on the field.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they play soccer on it. I was tripping just walking on the thing.
Well, I mean, the last time
it's gym mats.
The last time I was there,
over top of it.
The last time I was there was to see Stevie Wonder in concert, probably 5-6 years ago, and it looked like it was about to fall down.
Well, that
really does, and it is not. And if anyone is interested in like acoustics or design of arenas, like I remember a big deal when they opened the Capitol Center, they said this is going to change everything because our building is a hyperbolic parabola. It had that weird sort of shape for sound and everything.
Right.
Stevie Wonder was playing inside of a furniture box, and it was it's horrifying. Rob,
so I told you they gave us full access.
Right.
So when we got bored, we wandered and said, let's see what it's like in the upper deck.
Yeah, upper deck.
And we went over to the stairs, and they had like the yellow caution tape.
Yes.
But we got full access, so we just went past that.
We Thank went you up guys to the for th- chugging along while I
of
was
course.
Wrong.
Yeah. We went up to the top, and the seats were literally falling apart.
Yeah.
Because they didn't care for the arena.
It's gone now, but in D.C., I think it's in Northeast, there was the Washington Coliseum, which is known mostly because that's where the Beatles played their first American concert. But since then, it has been numerous things, including a trash dump. They literally opened it up to dump trash there. It became, I think, a Dick's Sporting Goods. But they wanted to do something for I think it was the 30th anniversary of the Beatles concert, and I got tickets for that. I went there. A wall was missing. In February, a wall was missing.
Where are you talking about?
The Washington Coliseum, an ancient structure here. And it was the coldest I have ever been in my life. And I'm glad that they finally did
something. In an arena?
Yeah, because there was a missing wall. I mean, literally a wall was gone.
Yeah, that's more like a Florida style.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I'm glad to know that you...
kid hockey anywhere.
Okay, so have we played it yet?
No, we've been waiting on you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Sorry for the delay. Let's take a look, and then I welcome your comments.
All right.
Can you see that?
I can't.
I can't, no.
Neither can I.
This is. I will tell you, on Monday, the Gribbleys are entering into all the computers here.
Yeah.
It's a very, very odd day. Things are happening without us touching anything, and that normally doesn't happen. Turn down the audio a little bit. 8-year-olds.
Oh, I like the kid coming in and jumping on his back.
Wait till the goalie arrives. Oh, there he is.
There we go.
Here comes Butters.
Big goalie, the fat kid.
Look at the punching.
The big kid. Oh, the big kid. The big kid.
Is this staged? Like, what are they even trying to accomplish?
I don't know what happened. There goes the goalie again. He's going to knock somebody else down. And
good
there he
Lord.
Goes.
Where's the ref?
This is... I don't think I...
Oh, there's the puck.
The goalie again.
Oh.
That's not that goalie, and then he escapes.
Hogan's a bully. Like
can you imagine those little rat bastards in 12 years? They're going to be something.
So, look, as somebody who likes old school, that's just That is so obnoxious. That I don't know where to, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say as somebody. I feel somehow guilty for enjoying a good hockey brawl, but that's not what people.
What age would they have
crowd?
To be? Oh, they loved it.
Hear the Pennsylvania crowd. Yay! Yeah,
those are the same people that like Hershey Park. I hope they all have a horrible day. The thing, Mike, when you watch that. Do you think it's because it's been instilled in them by their coaching,
online,
or do you think it's
online,
just soaked
in? You have channels dedicated to it, it's you know, it's hard to imagine that doesn't play some factor.
At that age, I think the coaches hyped them up.
You think
and
so?
And have taught them to, hey, let's fight. Yes, because you're not going to have kids just fighting like that with the entire team. You're going to have kids that kind of scurry away and two kids get in the fight.
It's probably also has to do with the amount of chocolate they are fed because it gets their blood sugar way
high. Now stop. Now, let's be serious for a second.
Yes.
I might agree with Josh that maybe the coaches had something to do with this, but I'm not sure. It's it's not a good look. It's really not a good look for these little crumb crunchers to be doing this. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I think I feel horrible.
Do you think there's he's doing it, so I better get in on it? Because one bad apple.
You mean the kids?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, only if the coaches hyped them up and said, hey, if you have to support each other.
But I don't know if you – I haven't done a follow-up. I saw this video 10 minutes before we came in here, so I had to share it because I thought it was worthy of discussion. The problem is, as someone who doesn't mind it being part of the game – in a wrestling way, I seen guys get hurt? Does it take an emotional toll on so-called enforcers in the NHL? It does. It's terrible. If it was gone from the game, would it ruin hockey? No, it wouldn't. Do I find it entertaining? Yes, I do. Like I would find a boxing match entertaining or
what
an MMA fight entertaining.
I mean, I know you love a hockey fight. You do. I mean, and you know what? There's nothing to be ashamed about in that. But if you were to remove all fighting from hockey, you say it wouldn't ruin the game. But
it wouldn't ruin the game. No.
But what percentage would it diminish the game?
It wouldn't. I think that there is a type of fan base that doesn't mind it. That's I'm in that category. Do I like a good hockey go? 100%. I've grown up on it. I've been in hockey fights before. It's just a situation where
I found an answer.
Okay.
Here's why it turned into the fight it was.
Oh, good.
The two teams last night. Were actually one team split into two sides. So it was a bunch of friends.
And were they doing it on purpose?
They were all on this. Well, we don't know. We just know that the Central Penn Youth Club put out a statement saying, what occurred during last night's youth scrimmage involving one team split into two sides was held during intermission. The Hershey Bears did not reflect the value of the sport and standards we expect from young athletes.
Oh, God. They have to do that. They have to. The youth sports people have to do that. I get it.
But I like the fact that it's kids, though, because also, Mike, and you have to explain this to me because I've never played a sport, much less a sport that requires all of that equipment. When they are all padded up and in their helmets and everything, how hard is it to do some real damage?
It's not. You can do real damage.
Okay, okay.
Did you see that goalie hit that kid that wasn't expecting it?
Yeah,
that could have resulted in a real injury. 100%.
There are multiple investigations because the Hockey League believes that it was staged. That the coach put it together and said, hey, if we do this, we'll get a bunch of attention.
That's funny.
All right, but they're going to eviscerate the coach if he did
that. They will, and it's still fun.
It's better if he staged it. I'm sorry. Yes. It's funny.
Is it possible that any one of those players was a dwarf? In there to mix it up.
I'm going back to the play it from the 23 mark again so we can take a peek and see what's going on with this because it was even if they staged it, the goalie got a little too into it, in my humble opinion.
He's a method actor.
I think the goalie did the best shots.
He took the best shots. That's a real punch.
Yeah, but it's into the mask.
Yeah, I know.
And see,
also,
I shouldn't laugh.
No, you shouldn't.
I should not laugh.
And remember, the goalie is the goalie because he can't skate well. So he can't stop.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
They also look, I mean, honestly, they look to be about 13 or 14.
No, they're 8. They're 8-year-olds. 8-year. Oh, God. If I'm only laughing now because if it was staged,
right.
There's the goalie.
Oh, don't get that. Wait, do they all have Hogan on their back, or was that two brothers?
I have no idea.
No, they have different names on their back because I saw the name Weiss on another back, right, so they got to be related. Yeah.
At that point, with the hockey, before the goalie came in to break up the two fighting, it was Hogan fighting another kid, and then the hockey player who also had the name Hogan came in like he was protecting his brother.
Oh, let me tell you something, God. Brother. We're 8 years old, brother.
Well, more to come. I mean, this exploded, of course, because we are... Look, we have to accept our humanity, and part of being humans is to realize we are animals. Look what we... What do we consume? Violence. What do we... What do we make... look at the MMA.
Yeah.
It's part of being a human being. We respond to it. Rob, and if you think we're evolved beyond it, you're sorely mistaken.
It's time to use that acting, Rob. It's time to stage a fight so we can go viral.
Exactly. Exactly. We just need one of us in the same state as the other one, or the same region
of the
country.
You know what? Here's what we have to do, since my son's too young, but yours is not,
right.
And he's bigger than you. You stage one, try to duplicate, and this one is one of the funniest I've seen. It's the one when the comedian comes on Saturday Night Live, and why am I blocking on the New England comedian with the bald head that goes on
Bill
Saturday?
Burr?
Bill Burr. Thank you, Rob. Bill Burr plays the character for the Sam Adams commercials.
I remember that.
That gets into a fight with his son and just wails at you. Think you're ready? You think you can go right now? You know, I played a promotional video that the Whalers had with the world, and my father and I were at the game with the World Record Association for the WHA. I was there at that game.
And it was, Mike, you got to know, they released it as a 45 RPM record.
And with their theme song on the flip side.
Exactly.
And it was, and now Brackenberry and Selwood want to go, and there they go.
Here comes Butters.
And now Smith wants a piece of Butters. Eddie spilled.
Have you ever gone on eBay to try and find that 45?
Not the 45, because it's online all the time.
You know what? I would love to find a copy of it for you just so you have it, because that's pretty cool.
I've played it, and people that listen to the show regularly know I've played it a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe that next year can be my Christmas tape. I play my little clip of the New England Whalers and a great play-by-play by Bob Neumeier and great color analyst Bill Rasmussen.
Since you have time to prepare for Christmas of 26, would you compose a small outro that you read after the fight?
The Mike O'Mara Show in no way condones this type of behavior. But anyway.
I meant something like, and there was skating and they did fight.
They fight. So it's what if it was staged by the coach.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know they're gonna boot him out. No. I know they'll do that. But
I blame Hershey.
I blame the state of Pennsylvania.
I blame the East Coast of this country.
You know, Mrs. O'Mara is from that wonderful state.
Yeah, but she's not from Hershey. That's why I kept it laser focused.
They probably took those kids to Hershey Park. They got to deal with all the hills.
Yeah,
no fun.
And the long lines and the bad service and everything and the horrible parking and the heat. You know what? I think the whole organization needs to be restructured.
You know what? Yeah. She comes from a part of the state. Look it up. Spangler.
Is that where they make the candy canes?
That's where they make a very, very hearty stock of people and have great deals at grocery store fried chicken.
That's what I remember.
Here's a trivia question. Yeah. Probably it's next door to one of the most famous towns in Pennsylvania, besides Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, one of the most famous. No, that's another famous one.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint.
Please.
It is put on the map once a year at a very non-holiday.
Oh, I bet it is Gobbler's Knob, where the stupid groundhog.
Punxsutawney.
Punxsutawney, exactly.
Punxsutawney, and it's lovely.
I Googled the city.
Yeah.
And Wikipedia comes up and has two things about it.
Yep.
A 1922 mining disaster.
That's it.
And that killed a bunch of people, and a 1971 fire that killed a bunch of firefighters.
There you go.
That's all it's known for.
It's horrible when mining goes bad.
Mining is terrible. We got to take a little pause here, and lots more coming up. But thank you for humoring me with the full-fledged meltdown. I think it might be time to install the new software into my computer. Not going to do it during the show, though. So, what happened? What happened? What happened? There you go.
It's all right. We just won't use the overlays.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Was that me or you that did that?
That was me switching to the overlay, and it didn't like you.
Oh, thank you.
So we'll go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nausea has an arch enemy, Relief Band. It's the original anti-nausea wristband, clinically proven, drug-free, and doctor-recommended. It stops nausea from motion sickness, migraines, anxiety, hangovers, morning sickness, chemo, and more. All you do is strap it on. You adjust the intensity. You put it right on your wrist, and let me get the wrist there. And you just it's got a little vibration that works for you, and it's non-medicine, and it's phenomenal.
Science.
And it works. I've used it when I've been out there fishing. Zero side effects. The new Premier Plus Relief Band model goes even further. There it is. Josh is holding it up right there. A built-in digital clock is included in that. Next level nausea control is what we're talking about. Does it sound too good to be true? But it's true. It works. I have it. I use it. That's the upgraded model right there. It's life-changing if you deal with nausea all the time, folks. And I love the product because it works for people. Thousands of people who are nausea-free now because of Relief Band. An exclusive offer just for Mike O'Mara Show listeners, people. If you go to reliefband.com and you... I'm sorry. My computer today is...
giving you a little grief.
Going crazy. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS, you will receive 20% off plus free shipping. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping. Thank you very much, Relief Band. Hit it, Rob Spiewak.
This is a segment called Youth Hockey Tidbits, where Mike will bring you all of the stories about the Mighty Mites and other youth hockey leagues
all around
the country.
I truly look forward to hearing about the follow-up to that. And I hope I think it's viral enough where there might be more information down the road. But then again, it could go in the wind, like so many viral videos do. You never know. Did you know that certain foods might make you smell better, even though it makes your breath terrible? Did they teach you that in school? Do they know that there? Take garlic, of course. The worst
I always
breath.
Do.
I had garlic over the weekend at Happy Valley. It was called the Shrimp Pasta Bowl, and it was just wall to wall garlic. Tasted great going in, but then.
Yeah, no, kiss me, sweetie.
So it makes your breath smell worse, you know that, but it can also make your sweat smell better. What you eat affects your body odor in two ways, through your gut and through your skin. As food is digested, gases escape out of your mouth, and the rest works through your bloodstream and comes out in sweat, where bacteria turn them into smells. In one study, women were asked to sniff a bunch of men's worn armpit pads.
Mike, how are you with your worn armpit pads? Do we still have those at MikeOMaraShow.com?
They're for very special listeners. We don't sell them.
No.
We give them away.
That's right. And they come delivered in a Ziploc bag.
You can eat. they rated those who ate a lot of garlic as more attractive. The women did when they smelled the pads. The researchers couldn't believe it. One said, "We replicated this study 3 times. That's how surprised we were, just to make sure. They also found that eating a lot of fruits and vegetables helps you smell sweeter and more floral, and meat-heavy and carb-heavy diets smelled less sexy than the others.
And hug me, Mike, with my carb-heavy diet.
I'd love to go to the prom with you, but you smell like a brisket. Sorry.
Josh's secret is to smell like Skittles.
And hot dogs.
And Skittles SK. And hot dogs.
not a bad smell.
SK hot dogs. So anyway, they say fruits, vegetables, garlic, another, you know, fresh.
I wonder, do onions count? Onions are not garlic unlike.
No.
I was, you'll keep all the vampires away.
That's true.
I was a short order cook. We had one, two, three crumb crunchers overnight Saturday night.
Oh.
Great kids. Great kids. Salute to Luke and to Nick. Just, you know what?
How did they smell?
When you get a kid who's standing in the driveway because he was working on his computer and Michael and Nick headed out to walk the dogs and he couldn't find them. I said, I think they went down the street. And I was pulling in after going to the grocery store and saying, can I help you with your groceries? That's a kid that can come back to my house. Luke, anytime you want, pal. But, anytime.
Wow. But did they follow their staging cues for the fight?
when we staged the fight to go viral.
You know, the only time I ever asked Mike if I could help him with his groceries was consuming his groceries.
Yes, I know. That's true.
And I was always there, though. I was ready to help.
When you were working in the garage, you were funny because you would just wander. You would be, like, there would be work going on in another room, and you would just walk into
what
the
do you
living
mean,
room.
The garage, you mean your house?
Yeah, at the house when you were down here doing the failed studio.
Oh, okay, yeah, exactly.
And you would just wander. And I would imagine that sometimes you would be reminded when you were working the farm to get back to it, right? Did they have to remind you occasionally?
Not really. Sometimes when you're working, you just want to be out of the situation for a moment.
I get it. I know who else was in there.
Yeah, you take a breath, true. And you might ultimately, sometimes a small break will get more accomplished.
Short order cook yesterday, the three meals, freshly homemade pancakes
nice.
On the Blackstone yesterday
for
for the whole gang, followed by a lunch of Sloppy Joe's, followed by, for the immediate family, dinner. We didn't have time to cook a whole roast. I sliced them into little steaks and cooked them for everybody last night.
So, all meat and carbs, so sweet-smelling kids.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the meat.
Yeah.
Meat you can eat, maybe not.
The Golden Globes. Girls at school Monday.
The Golden Globes, whatever.
Thank you.
I don't really dive into award shows anymore. Even Nikki Glaser seemed to be on her best behavior. Well, that's dull. Never straying beyond safe humor. The jokes about Leonardo DiCaprio dating younger women, blah. Although she did take a shot at CBS News, calling it, quote, America's newest place to see BS news. Boy, that's edgy. The Globes aired on
CBS. That's like a Steve Allen joke. I mean, there's nothing to that.
There wasn't much in the way of political statements, although some people were wearing pins that said, be good, a reference to Renee Good, the woman who was murdered by an ICE officer in Minneapolis last week. As for winners, Hamnet. I haven't watched the Hamnet.
Is that based on Hamlet at all?
I would assume so. It's best one for best drama. One Battle After Another. That's the movie, right? That one for best musical or comedy. It doesn't make any sense.
Is that Paul Thomas Anderson?
And isn't it Leonardo DiCaprio again? Who's in
but
that?
If it's Paul Thomas Anderson, you know who his dad is.
Who's that?
Ernie Anderson.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a great director.
He is.
Sinners. I never watched Sinners. Did either one of you watch Sinners?
No, Josh is not going to watch that. Of course not.
And Hamnet is Shakespeare's son.
Okay. All right. I get it.
Great.
Sinners.
Sinners.
Sinners. Cinematic and box office achievements.
Cinematic.
Best movie people actually saw. One Battle had a good night overall. It also took supporting actress Teyana Taylor and best director for the aforementioned Paul Thomas Anderson.
I'm glad you won, son.
K-pop Demon Hunters was named best animated flick, and Golden won best song in the TV category. The Pit, that's my show. I do watch that.
Did you watch the new episode of The Pit?
Watched the new episode. Like the new character. Like the new doctor.
Yeah.
Like the sexual tension already between Noah Wiley and the doctor. That one, best drama. The Studio, no.
You're kidding.
Oh, come on.
That show was unwatchable.
Really?
It was fine, but it was just to make Hollywood happy. So, of course, they're going to celebrate
it here. Do you think, Mike, when it won, do you think Seth Rogen laughed?
I never expected to.
Thank you.
Noah Wiley won best actor.
Good.
For the Pit.
That's on point.
Seth Rogen won the musical or comedy equivalent for the studio, so he won too.
Great.
So not only did it win the, I don't get it. Amy Poehler defeated her ex-husband when Good Hang. Do you know any of these shows?
No. No, and I think it's really...
Oh, that's a podcast.
But
they've got
a
podcast category now.
It is so ratings and moment-driven when they start putting spouses' podcasts up against each other, and they're both not really all that listenable. So,
Will Arnett's Smartless was also nominated.
Yes.
Ricky Gervais won Best Stand-Up Comedy on Television, but he wasn't there to accept, so presenter Wanda Sykes, thank God, and the trans community on his behalf. Both have been frequent targets of his jokes. The Globes ended with a nod to Rob Reiner as Glazer signed off wearing a Spinal Tap hat.
Overall, how do you feel?
Great job. Yeah. All right,
I know that. Let's take last night out of it. Overall, how do you feel about Nikki Glazer as a performer and as they would say, a presenter?
I think she's got a lot of talent. I think her material can be really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you walk the shock jock line for stand-up, sometimes it's just you can slide into habits of just being mean for mean's sake, you know?
I agree.
And there are only so many jokes you can do about your labia as far as Nikki Glazer is concerned.
I agree. I think that she could probably be a lot better if she didn't have her writers trying to shock everybody with everything she said.
Totally agree with you on that one. Actor Timothy Busfield. Remember that that show, Revenge of the Nerds, the movie?
Oh, the movie Nerds,
and then the TV show that was a smash 30-something back in the like 90s.
Do you remember, Mike, back in the 90s, the yuppie sex position, 60-something?
The West Wing he was also on.
That's right.
He's been charged with sexually abusing two boys on the New Mexico set of a show called The Cleaning Lady, which he was producing and directing. Busfeld, Revenge of the Nerds, 30-something West Wing. The alleged victims are twin brothers who worked on the show. They're 11 now, but one of them said the incidents began when he was 7. Busfield isn't under arrest yet, but there's a warrant out for him in New Mexico. So this is not cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's all I can say on something like that. Another perv, Daniel Stern, who was Wet Bandit Harry from Home Alone.
That's
you
gross.
Remember that character?
Yeah, of course.
He was cited by police for soliciting prostitution. Well, he's lonely. I'm not going to. I think the perv with the 7-year-olds, you know, I can throw darts at him, but I'm not going to throw darts at a guy that just, you know, wants a little companionship.
Let's not rank sex crimes. Let's bury that.
He was caught at a hotel in Amarillo, California.
Oh, that's trying to hire beautiful town.
He was trying to hire an escort on December 10th. Daniel wasn't arrested. He was only given a ticket. Well, there you go. Yeah. There's no warrant out for his arrest. He got a ticket for trying to get a hooker.
Go up to the hooker and say, "How would you like to make love to the narrator of The Wonder Years?"
Daniel was recently in the news last October when he was briefly hospitalized for an undisclosed emergency. Probably had something to do with his wiener.
Yeah, my clap. It was the clap.
There you go. No, I can rank them, Rob. The Busfield is Pervolino, right?
Well, of course. But you know what? I just don't think it's not our place to do that.
Yeah, you need more than two to start ranking.
I love judging pervs. It's 2026, and the trailblazing cutting-edge trend on social media is 2016. Hear me out.
How do you mean?
Well, revisiting what was popular 10 years ago is the new thing, using the hashtag #BringBack2016. According to TikTok, searches for 2016 surged by 452% in the last week, and more than 55 million videos have been created using 2016 filters, and stats from Spotify show a 71% increase in 2016 playlists.
You know, this makes sense because I was looking at the metrics for this show, and the episodes featuring Mark Ronick are off the charts.
Was he still with us in 2016?
I think he was.
We started in 2009.
I don't know. You know, Mike, even if he wasn't with us, I always like to feel he was.
You should have a big party when the podcast career, if I don't die, you know, passes by the radio career.
In length?
Which, going to be a big party. Yeah, we'll have a big party.
And all the old people, all the old friends will be there. Well, most of them.
We'll have everybody come back. I'll invite everybody. Well, come on the show. I will. I'll invite everybody. Time has passed. I'll do that. I'll invite everybody that's been associated with me.
The one person from the past that I would really like to see is no longer with us. So do whatever you like.
Yeah. Twitch. I'm sorry about that.
And I was thinking RJ.
RJ, yeah, but Twitch too, right?
Yeah.
There's no explanation for why
never
2016.
Never much cared for Mark Riddell.
He'd laugh at that.
He would.
You ever see the bit about Conan O'Brien when his mom and dad died within 3 weeks of each other?
No.
And so Will Arnett, I believe it was Will Arnett, sent a text, sorry to hear about your loss. And then Conan, in the middle of grieving for his dad, sent him a text back that says, I think it was Bateman. And then, three days later, his mom passed, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
And I think Will Arnett sent him a text that said, do you want me to share your sister's address with Bateman? I mean, just it's the way he grieves, and it really speaks to why I think Conan O'Brien is as funny as he is.
I genuinely think if you are as funny, as intrinsically funny as Conan is, that's your knee jerk right there.
It's great. I'll send you the clip. It's
I'd
great.
Love it. Yeah.
There's no explanation why this 2016 thing is trending, but some say Gen Zers are already down on 2026 and want a factory reset back to early 2016. I agree with
that, brother. It's ahead of schedule. We normally, our sort of love of memorabilia and the past is on a 20-year cycle. If you think about Happy Days, set in the 50s, was popular in the 70s.
Yep.
The 60s had a big resurgence in the 80s. The 90s saw that 70s show. I'm wondering what the hit records of 19... You say it's 2016?
2016.
Okay, I want to see what the music is because remember, I bet it sucked.
These kids also, though, are the same kids that had to deal with the pandemic and going to school in pandemic.
Oh,
so it was
boo-hoo.
All just extended
we all
and screwed
did.
Up.
Well, there's the Mannequin Challenge, Chewbacca Mom, pop culture, music advice, but there's more to it than just nostalgia. The thinking is that the internet is less fun now. Agreed.
Yeah.
Because there's so much brain rot and AI slop. Could not agree more. And, this is a difficult time right now for everybody. I get that 100%. So why not?
Oh, Mike, yeah. I would love to go back to 2016 and hear more Justin Bieber and Drake and Rihanna and Designer and 21 Pilots and the Chainsmokers. Yeah.
He found it. That's good. Finally today, a 23-year-old man from China learned the hard way that it's not a good idea to put a 2-inch live leech inside your body. He apparently saw something online that boasted the miraculous effects of inserting a leech into your bladder through your urethra.
Ah!
Well, if he's a dude, there's only one way that goes. He even went out of his way to get the leech, so he must have totally bought into this remedy. Instead, the leech just caused excruciating pain.
Am I the only one who has their knees clamped together really tight right now?
He required an emergency surgery to remove it. He's expected to make a full recovery. It's unclear what the guy was trying to do in the first place, you know? I have a leech in there right now.
Do you?
Yeah, it hasn't made its way to the bladder yet. It's actually right in the hose. Yeah.
Are you, Mike, actually, I think you're living off the leech.
Yeah.
Not the other way around.
Carla calls me a leech all the time now. Now that she's opened her new store. But hey, thank you, everybody.
Best leech scene in movies. If you ever want to know what a leech looks really creepy, look at The African Queen.
Oh, my God. There's still no better when it comes to leeches. I have to say that over the weekend, I dove into my brand new case of Naked Wines. And man, oh, man, it's the best. I do. I have a couple of apps on my phone that analyze wine. And I did that with my Naked Wines. And I will tell you, these wines are incredibly well regarded, and the deals they have are spectacular. We're deep into winter. That means it's officially cozy night in season. It's really perfect for a great bottle of wine. If you're going to go to a friend's house, just bring a bottle or two with you. It's a great thing to show up with. Great wine is even better shared. This podcast sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a wine club that directly connects you to the world's best independent winemakers, so you can get world-class wine delivered straight to your door. Use our code TMOS at NakedWines.com and get $100 off your first order. That's 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99. I was a hero this past Christmas thanks to my delicious bottles.
Your bottles.
How do they do it? They're fantastic. Naked Wines brings you amazing wine straight from the winery at up to 60% less than what you would pay in stores by cutting out that pesky extra cost. It's, middlemen and the markups, those
I hate
pricks.
Middlemen.
The winemakers can pass the savings on to you without skimping on quality. Get the best wine at the best price. Naked Wines. Now's the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Click enter voucher, and then you put the code TMOS in for the code and password. $100 off your first order. 6 bottles, $39.99, shipping included. That's $100 off your first 6 bottles at nakedwines.com/TMOS. Remember to use the code and password TMOS for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. A 7-minute copy right there. That was
Mike,
a very long commercial.
When a message is important, you must make sure you deliver it.
I just wanted to say that where we are right now, it is just, I'm so tired. Are you tired?
Yes.
Are you tired of all the crap?
All the time. All the time I'm tired.
Every week it's something new. It's just getting exhausting. I don't know.
It's what we discussed last week. It's all set up to tire us out and divide us.
Yep.
It's just, you know, I've watched now, I've watched this video of Renee Good, the mom of three, there's so much information out there about it now that it's pretty easy to draw your own conclusion. And, you know, that cop had no business, that cop, if you want to call him a cop, that asshole. Had no business opening up his revolver into that car. And it was just, and now we have the protest. Let me tell you, all I know is this. In the reddest counties in America, which are next to each other down here in Southwest Florida, the county of Lee and the county of Collier, when they get protests, you know something's up. It really is. I feel as though.
But it's also, for your counties, it's also January. You won't see those protests in the summer when the snowbirds go back.
Not quite sure about that. I'm really not sure. Who knows? I feel collectively that we are we're getting to critical mass here with just all this crap.
I'd love to agree with you, but wouldn't you say we were at critical mass 5 years ago?
I don't know, man. I mean,
it's like how much can we take?
Yeah, and when you're shooting people on the streets, it's for no reason. There's just it freaks me out.
It's amazing
it really does.
That where we're at.
Well, and it was interesting to see how both sides immediately started to lie about facts.
Well, what was the side? I understand that Kristi Noem and company are lying, but where's like, the lying coming on the other side?
Well, Trump comes out and lies and says he was run over when he wasn't run over. Mm-hmm. Then the mayor comes out and says. He wasn't hit. It was like hitting your hip on a fridge door.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, you go back and forth instead of, which means everyone is so quick to make it about their party.
That's true.
And divided that we can never find a truth.
But you can find the truth by looking at the video.
Sure.
They manipulate that too by saying here's 7 different angles.
But if you see all the angles, and here's what, you know, there's one salient fact in the video that I urge everybody to look at. Look at the direction of the tires. The tires were turned to the right. That means she was driving away from the police officer. There's no argument about it.
And the simple way you avoid this, that guy shouldn't.
He shouldn't. Josh, we lost you. We lost you for a second. Josh, I don't know what happened.
But I think what he's saying is
his audio dropped out. The guy shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. I think what Josh was saying is he shouldn't have even been there.
And they shouldn't be there. I mean, come on. I mean, really, it's just getting, I feel the weight of this. And
I asked someone once.
We have a good country.
Oh, we have a great, we have the best
country
in the world.
We have a great country. It seems like 15, 20 years ago, we were just chilling and worrying about different stuff. And now it's just this. I asked someone
who was dealing with a long-term illness with their spouse. I said, how do you deal with this? And they said, you deal with what you're given. And right now, this is what we're given, and I hate it, and it makes my neck hurt, and I still grind my teeth now, something I haven't done for 50 years of my life. But we're just putting up with it because what is our option right now? We have to bear it, and it's horrible. And we've all got kids. Do you ever stop and think that this for a kid is the new normal? They don't remember what it was like before it was like this.
Well, I can talk about it briefly, but it is my job, really, and this is the way I define my job. It is my job to kind of move away from what everybody's doing with the arguing and establish what I want people to know is that I know that I hope that this is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for not using his training. And by the way, many law enforcement officers would tell you exactly what the protocol is, including one I saw online that actually was run over, had his leg crushed, had an opportunity to discharge his weapon, and did not do so. So when you've got that, but anyway, moving along, speaking of automobiles, my job is to take my own personal dilemmas and share them with you so that you can enjoy my misfortune.
So where were you? I know you've got all of your ICE training. Where were you this weekend?
Friday morning.
No, I'm kidding.
I dropped my kid off at the bus.
Okay.
As I was heading down to Happy Valley, as I was heading away from his bus stop, I heard a slightly discernible... My car, because it's an electric car, and it's an expensive car, is so quiet that I just noticed the slightest anomaly when it comes to sound. And at that moment, I look down, and there's the light that says tire pressure low. And, well, I said, okay, there's a place. There's a place that I can fill it up with air. So it's going. And I look down, and when I pull into the Wawa, where, by the way, the
great
Wawa
outfit,
Corporation, great outfit to have free air. Free air ought to be at all these places.
Agree,
don't you agree?
And you know what? It used to be the standard.
Put
now
the
it's
compressor and everything. Thank you, Wawa, for giving us free air.
Hey,
thank
Sheets,
you.
Take a lesson, Sheets.
Bite me, Sheets.
Bite my Sheets.
Well, it's it usually takes 38 pounds. It's down to 27 pounds, and it's actually visibly flat.
Yeah.
And so I pump it up, pump the jam, pump it up. I put 40 pounds in, so I want an extra two in case it's going to lose any more.
Sure, you plan ahead.
I plan ahead because that's what I do.
Did you grab a can of that Fix-A-Flat inside Wawa?
I did not get the
Fix-A-Flat. Any holes?
No, I probably
should
have. I have
that on hand, but I keep it in my kitchen.
And another thing, Josh, that I didn't do, I did not examine the tire. I looked on the side, and I saw like what appeared to be a tiny piece of rubber that had, you know, was from a different part that did not appear to be deep at all, and I don't know what it was. And filled it up. There it was. I didn't hear any hissing sound.
Back to my story now.
This is, after I got done pumping it up.
Yes, of course.
I was confident that I was going to be fine for at least my round of golf and then maybe to get home.
Sure.
That's what it would be. Pump up the jam.
Pump up the jam. Pump
Why did I go out of focus?
Oh, so you're going to go leave it in the parking lot at your club for a while.
Because it's going to be 4 hours.
Yeah.
So I have approximately, it's a 20-minute total time to get down there. It's probably an 11-mile drive that I have to Happy Valley. And so it takes no time at all if traffic's right. And I'm driving along, singing a song, having a fantastic time. And then I hear...
Have you really discounted? Is the flat tire totally out of your mind now? You're onto another Charlie
adventure?
Out of my
mind. I filled it. I should be fine. That's what they are, these modern tires that we have. And I get about a mile from my exit, and I hear... and I lose control of the vehicle on the interstate.
What speed were you going at when you heard the
72.
Oh, my God.
Probably should have gone slower, but I don't think it would have mattered. The tire obviously had, a catastrophic damage in it. I immediately got it under control and pulled over. I was less than a mile from the scene of my auto wreck where I totaled my car on that
street. It's like the Bermuda Triangle.
It's a bad luck. That's exactly right. It's just like the Bermuda. It was a bad luck spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy. I'm going to monopolize the conversation here because before you get your beautiful video, I've got to tell you about the debacle that is roadside assistance.
Not so good, huh?
I had no choice with. And let me do that when we come back, because it is, let's just say, the shredded tire occurred at 7:45 in the morning. The car was secured by a tow truck at 7:02 in the evening.
So not quite 12 hours.
Not quite. What a wonderful operation. But first, I want to tell you that we've all had one of those nights, laughing until sunrise, conversations cracking wide open, and it's in a good way.
Yeah.
And suddenly feeling more connected than you ever expected. Moments where walls drop, people feel closer. That's the power of psilocybin. It opens doors in your mind and between people. This episode of TMOS is brought to you by Schedule 35. That is the most trusted name in psilocybin products. Whether you're microdosing for focus or exploring a deeper recreational reset, Schedule 35 makes every experience intentional, consistent, and safe. These aren't party drugs. They're connection tools for your mind, your creativity, your relationships, and maybe even your soul. Visit Schedule35.co, not com, dot co.
C-O, yes.
C-O, and use code TMOS for 15% off. Thank you. And remember to picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Enjoy your trip. Get 15% off all orders with the TMOS code at Schedule35.co. That's 15%, Schedule35.co. And use, hold on.
No.
Sorry. And use the code TMOS. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I call. Let me see if I can get this up here. I'm going to have to do a little theater, so bear with me. I wasn't planning on it. I just felt when I talked about
You know,
this,
if you're a new listener, Mike loves the theater, and this is going to be one of his sort of one-man show black box theater.
She loves the theater. Let me see if this one.
Hello.
No, that's not the one I wanted to do. That's not
what I ask you to do, unless you're driving your car, close your eyes and picture yourself listening to Mike in a darkened theater, maybe lit only by a pin spot. Josh,
I just
love
played
theater?
That for fun.
I love it. Josh loves the theater. Josh was in the original touring company of Godspell. A lot of people don't know that. He played Judas, and I loved when you sang All for the Best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we've all seen my great acting ability.
All right, so I call roadside assistance with a button. It's got an actual SOS button for roadside assistance. And when I call, I get this is literally, this will be the voice that is used through my entire experience.
Okay, great.
And on the other end, I hear,
roadside assistance, can I help you?
Oh.
I said, what?
Roadside assistance, can I help you?
I said, is this roadside assistant?
Yes.
And I begin to try to find out what's going on. In the meantime, I call my buddy Oli. We're playing in a golf tournament. And Oli, God love him, comes out, does the 25-minute drive to come pick me up. Because I'm, you know, there's nothing I can do.
In your car, don't you have, the assistance button and you have the Oli button.
So you have the Oli button.
Oli, and it rings
Oli comes and picks me up in his giant SUV. And meanwhile, it's
are you in any danger?
I said, excuse me?
Are you in any danger?
I said, I'm not in any danger. I said,
are you safe?
I said, I'm... It goes
on
and on.
As indicated by the previous question, Mike, is this roadside assistance, is this through your automobile company or through a larger organization?
It is from the Bavarian Motor Company.
Okay, I understand.
Bavarian Motor Cars.
Yes.
And I go through, and it was not resolved by the time I said, I have to go now. I'm thinking tea time. I'm sorry. That's my priority in life.
Goodbye.
I don't care. You know, come steal my car, but at least I got it. I'm going to tee off at 8:30. I'd have no choice. This is a tournament. This is the Old Pal. This is what it's called. The tournament is called the Old Pal. It is. It really is.
You should have hit the Old Pal button.
It really is. Yeah. And it's the King's Classic this next week. It's tournament season.
It is tournament season.
We've talked before. They don't really forgive you for missing or being late.
No.
No.
There's no excuse. Oh, you had a flat tire? That's what they would have said.
No, but you better be in the hospital.
And the car was, and the tire was shredded. It was undrivable. Mm-hmm. So I go back and forth. I am now at the facility getting ready. I'm sitting in the cart while everybody else is warming up, and I'm sitting there, and I call. And you go through a series of AI automated voices before you get to somebody, and then I get to somebody.
Are you in any danger?
If you need to speak to a an agent, please hold. And then it's like,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I my car is out on Route 75.
You driven to a safe place?
Everything is from the script.
Yeah, of course.
Everything, yeah. And if they go off the script, you're screwed because they can't determine it.
Mike, anytime you're in a mechanical call like that, I always say, can we skip to the good part of the script?
Yes.
Because they will. They'll read every question if you don't call them on it.
Yes. Yes.
You got to do it.
This takes place, and it got to this point, okay, where it says,
can't you tell me the address of the...
I said, I don't have an address. I am off an interstate.
Right.
Any landmarks around that you could...
I said, I'm off the interstate. There are no landmarks.
They have a mile marker?
No, I'm not in the vehicle right now.
Are you safe?
I said I was safe before.
I always thought that these modern cars with the call for help button, like, sent a GPS location.
They do!
A pin, yeah.
They do, but it gets mucked up with the people that are doing the roadside assistance. And I could bore you with back and forth and back. I am, at the end of the day, I am screaming at the top of my lungs because I have been asked if I'm safe, if I'm in the car, and I've repeated this 30, 40 times. I am not exaggerating. And finally, I have gotten it to the point where the tow truck driver is on the way.
Okay.
Great company. Two brothers.
That's the name of the tow company?
Yeah.
Is it, do you know who owns it and if they're related?
I don't know, but this guy speaks English.
Yeah, I'm on 75. I'm on 75 northbound. Is that where your car is?
No, the car is on 75 south, as I have said 40 times.
Okay, because I just went by the exit that you were talking about. Is it a white car?
No, it is not a white car.
Okay. Oh, hold on. Has it got the flashers on?
Yes, it does.
I see it. All right. Okay. We'll get to it again.
I'm at the dealership, by the way, waiting for the car to be taken to the dealership where I can pay more than I need for an automobile.
You've done your tournament.
I have done my tournament. This is late
today.
Oh, my
God.
I gave up the whole thing.
How did you get to the dealership?
I got to the dealership by getting a ride from my friend Oli Ramirez.
Oh, good boy. That's a nice guy.
Who is a wonderful friend.
Yes.
And even though we had lost the tournament that day, and Oli was probably feeling the effects of the night before, he got me over there, and everything was fine. So
How did you play?
I played pretty damn well.
Good.
About a 7-hole stretch of 1-under par. Pretty good.
That's good for you.
Do you now have the clubs?
I got killed.
What?
Do you have the clubs with you now at the dealership?
No, the clubs are at Happy Valley. That's where I've left them. And I get to the and I'm going back and forth, and I finally, they give you, the one thing is, once this gets dialed in, after many, many phone conversations, and I've already talked to the tow truck driver, I get an alert says you can track where the tow truck is.
Now, that's pretty cool.
And it's where your car is. As soon as I get off the phone with him, I wait about 10 minutes. I go back to check the tracking. So he says, pickup has been canceled. Driver unable to locate your car.
But he's already told you that he's seen it.
I have the number that he called me on.
Yeah.
I get voicemail.
Called the other brother.
I call the main number for the tow company.
Mm-hmm.
I get voicemail. I go back to the app. It says, driver cannot pick up your call. Then I have the service manager at the dealership who's really not supposed to deal with this outside company, even though it does have the name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Guy, Bill, could not have been better, could not have been kinder, could not have been more concerned. It's the end of the day. They close at 6 o'clock. This is a goat F. I know the car's not going to get fixed until the next day at the best. It's a Friday night.
At the very best, yeah.
It's Friday night. You know what this guy does? This guy calls the towing company. And he comes back to me, he said, was your car in a ditch? I said, no, I pulled it off the side of the road. Two tires were on the grass and two tires were on the emergency lane. He said the car was in a ditch. Let me tell you what this service manager does, Bill.
Yeah.
At Germain BMW of Naples. Let me tell you what he does. He drives at 6 o'clock. It is Friday rush hour traffic. He drives, and it's at least 20 minutes out to get to where my car is.
Wow.
He drives out there. He drives out there and waits. In the meantime, he is calling the roadside assistants and reading them the riot act. This dude calls his other tow company, his local one, stays with my vehicle, and then calls me back at, I'm home at this point, at 2 minutes after 7.
Wow.
God. They're giving me a loaner car. They're saying it was this towing company that is used by the crappiest roadside assistants in the world, and it ended with him taking care of it, and they gave me a break on everything to get the car repaired. And I just wanted to say to Bill,
God, that's great,
and Chuck and Austin, the three guys that were, I mean, you guys deserve a medal. You did a great job. So as bad as the roadside assistant was, the dealership was great. If you want to buy a car, buy a car.
There's, you know what? There are good people out there. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Can you imagine that? The end of the bit. I mean, and this guy was, from what I gathered, being there the next day, I think he was off at this point. You know, it's a service manager in a dealership. The guy works his ass off.
Exactly.
And the guy rolls out to mine and is there an hour past his closing time. I cannot tell you how grateful I was. And I wish more stuff was done like that. Yeah. You know?
But are you safe?
That's good. Hey, is he getting better every day? He getting better every day?
I think we're just getting worse.
That's like, look, he's it's like comedy class.
He's
very getting
good.
Better.
He is,
yes. I'm it just never fails. He still can't pronounce G's. You got a beautiful video. I'm sorry I monopolized the time.
I got a few items. Yeah, I think you will like these. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. Every business has a story. The question is, who's telling yours? A podcast gives you a powerful platform to share your mission, build trust, and show the human side of your brand. But you want to do it right. You don't want to screw around, because really, bad podcasts are just, there are too many of them out there. At the Podcasters Warehouse, they handle everything from gear and recording to editing, publishing, promotion. No tech headaches, no wasted time. Just show up. And they will amplify your voice. And podcasts drive results, more loyalty, stronger connections, real leads. That turns listeners into clients. Every show is custom built for your business with studio quality audio and video at the Podcasters Warehouse. Plus, all of your social clips, thumbnails, transcripts, done. Your voice, our warehouse. We're not a platform. We're your production team. Let's build your podcast together. Visit thepodcasterswarehouse.com to schedule your free intro call now, because your story is too good not to tell. The Podcasters Warehouse, the warehouse does this podcast that you see every day, and you know everything that's going on. And by the way, if you go to business with the Podcasters Warehouse, you will deal personally with the man on my right and the man on my left.
This is true.
And if they want me to talk to you, I'll talk to you too. You give me a little taste.
That's right.
Anyway.
As long as you're safe.
As long as I'm safe. I love that. Hit the music,
Slim. Yeah, we got to do the thing.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Oh, Mike, you know these guys.
Charlie and Harrigan.
I get to do something today. First of all, we're a little crunched for time, but I wouldn't be...
Sorry about that. That's my fault.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say safe home to Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead.
Founding
amazing
member.
Career. And go and find his interview with Dan Rather. And the fact that the only reason the Grateful Dead was founded is that they heard music coming out of a banjo store. And they went in, and that's how they met. It's just amazing. Drop a Needle on Terrapin Station. It's a great album. But what I've gotten to do this now twice, and it's a thrill for me to debut a new Elvis record. I mean, Elvis is dead, right?
Yeah.
And I remember when they...
AI,
but actual audio. I think you're going to like this. I listened to this about 10 times on Friday.
All right.
We were one of the first radio shows to play that remix of A Little Less Conversation in 1992, because I pulled it offline. This is by Baz Luhrmann, the guy who did the Elvis movie a couple years
ago. Genius, by the way.
Absolutely. He's got a new Elvis doc coming out next month called Epic, Elvis Presley in Concert. And for this, he made this song. It's based mostly on a 1969 recording called Wearing That Loved On Look. But what he's done is he's taken songs and probably five or six that I can spot in here, pulled backup vocals, pulled Elvis, edited Elvis against himself, and made a new record. And it's called Wearing That Nightlife Look. It starts with the Sweet Inspirations. That's his backup band. Oh,
sorry.
That's all right.
Still having issues right now.
This is audio, right?
Audio, yes.
Yes.
His vocal sounds mind-boggling.
Here's Elvis Presley.
Baby, you're wearing that love, don't look. Shoot.
Totally new music?
Yeah, I'm sure that there is some AI involved, but the fact that it's actual Elvis cuts is amazing to me, because they're edited against each other. Background music is the same. It's just, you can find this on YouTube, and I recommend you take a peek. Here we go. Different song now.
Now, has he actually sung those words?
Yeah, that's a song from the Viva Las Vegas sessions.
Can you imagine 30 years ago me asking you that question? Did those words actually come out of his mouth or the robot's mouth?
But Mike, he did. Those are all actual Elvis vocals that you could go back and find.
Baby!
It is a great record, and it excites me that something like that might bring Elvis's attention to youth of today, but it's really cool. I know we're running a little late, so let's close with this. I've seen a lot of great stuff in my Target. I have seen German people riding bicycles around my Target, but I've never seen someone ride a horse into a Target.
What are y'all doing? Get out of the store with a horse.
So this
is not letting us in.
There you go.
It's a horse inside.
I love this
Target.
Man.
And it's two people on a horse.
How would that not make your day?
Well,
how would that not make your day?
If you work there.
Well, no, if you work there, it wouldn't.
Listen to the sound of the hooves on the floor.
Is that a kid on the back riding
with
him?
Yeah, it's a grown-up and a kid.
This to me is what it is. We need this. We need this stuff.
Yeah,
we're all on the hamster wheel, and we need this stuff. This is what I call good trouble.
This is good trouble. And actually, Target wasn't all that mad except for all of the poop.
I hope we get a look at the guy. Do we get a good look at the guy?
Not really, but it's...
Yeah, see,
look at that. And the kid's got sunglasses on.
Oh, crap.
He's crapping because horses crap all the time.
And it reminds me of the old punchline, like, what, and get out of show business?
I like that.
Thank you.
We all need to do stuff like that.
Well,
prank
we don't
people,
all be,
play games.
Not
Come
always
on.
With a horse.
Not a horse, but do it any way you can. It's
I
fun.
Agree.
Life is too short.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, have some fun with people. We're all in need of it right now. I might do it more and more on this show. I got to start thinking about that.
You could drive your car with the new tire through Walmart. Target if you could get past the red balls.
Well, I was thinking about something different, Rob, on this show. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but... I can describe, disguise my voice.
How's that?
We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode for Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak. This is Mike O'Mara saying, have a great day, pranksters.
He came in third, paid $280.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, radio entertainment.
Nice beaver.
Ha ha ha!
Thank you for correcting my English with stinks. I am Nanja Ibuko, exchange student from Cameroon.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.